It's now time for Talkin' Boxing with Billy C. It began as a podcast, went live on the net, and transformed into a full-blown empire. It's the only daily boxing talk show on the planet, hosted by the only guy with the balls to do it. Many have stepped into the ring. Many have tried to take the belt. And one by one, they've fallen. Another victim of the undisputed heavyweight champion of Boxing Talk Radio. Talkin' Boxing with Billy C is on now.
My style is impetuous, my defense is impregnable, and I'm just ferocious. I want your heart.
Coming to you live from the Billy C Studios in Lake George, New York. I'm Bill Calogero, and it's time for the Billy C Show. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you're listening. Hope you're doing all right. Don't forget to check out Fight TV and download our app. That's right. You can watch this show on Fight TV along with a lot of other stuff. All you got to do is go to Fight. That's F-I-T-E, fight.tv/Billy C, and download our app today, and you'll be off and running. Yeah, you'll be off and running. Like I feel today after coming back from the dead, so to speak, earlier in the week. But today's show is being brought to us in part by Sal's Neighborhood Pizzeria and Italian Restaurant, located on beautiful St. Simons Island, Georgia. Check out the website, www.salsneighborhoodpizzeria.com, or give my man a call, 912-268-2328, 912-268-2328, and find out why we brag about Sal's Italian Cuisine. And don't forget, if you're in the Brunswick area listening to us on WGIG and you haven't checked out Sal's, what the hell are you waiting for? Get the address. It's on Frederica. Yeah, it's on Frederica over in St. Simons. Check it out on the website, Sal's Neighborhood Pizzeria. .com. Today's show is also being brought to us in part by Gawk Box. What is it? Check it out, man. You can get a lot of stuff for free, and you can help this show out. Visit our website, www.billycboxing.com, and click on the Gawk Box banner, which is on the left-hand side. And today's show, she's also being brought to us in part by the Turning Stone Resort and Casino and their next boxing event, which is Thursday night, another Golden Boy on ESPN event. Thursday night at the Turning Stone. I'm going to be ringside, and I hope you are too. Get yourself some tickets. Now, we didn't update the poster yet on the website. Why? Because we're doing some changes to the website. That's right. Stay tuned for that. But click the Turning Stone poster, fight poster, that's up on the website. Not the current one. That will be up over the weekend. But you can get tickets and drop me an email, billy@talkinboxing. It's T-A-L-K-I-N. boxing.com, and you know, we'll hook up for the fight. You know, I'd love to chat some boxing and all that happy stuff on April 20th. And finally, today's show is being brought to us in part by my book, Tom Molino, From Bondage to Baddest Man on the Planet, is available right now where all great books are sold. And you can get a copy of my book by visiting barnesandnoble.com or amazon.com. it's that simple. What, you want a signed copy? Don't worry about it, I'll hook you up with that too. But you got to go to billycboxing.com and click on the book club section. Lot of stuff. We apologize for playing hooky earlier in the week, but I went 9.5 rounds with the Grim Reaper, but luckily I was able to come out on top. But the bottom line is this. You know, a lot of stuff has happened. We got Andre Ward taking his panties off and finally agreeing to a deal, to actually adhering to the deal he already had in place to fight Sergey Kovalev in a rematch. It's set for June 17th. We also got an update on the WBC concerning Chocolito in his last fight. We got a big fight this weekend. Unfortunately, we won't be doing a post-fight show because we got a bunch of stuff going on. But I got a lot of emails to read. I got some news to catch up on. But first, ladies and gentlemen, a guy, he wasn't sick the other day, but I tell you, I heard he got hit with a big monsoon type of weather down in the tropics, more commonly known as St. Simon's Island. But boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, please welcome New Jersey Boxing Hall of Famer, Guinness Book of World Record holder, a damn good restaurateur, and my main man, Sal Rocky Senecola. What's up, Sal?
Good morning, Billy. How are you, pal?
You know what? I'm doing a hell of a lot better, my friend. A hell of a lot better.
Well, I know you were down for the count, but you got up before the bell rang. So I'm glad to hear that. It's good to hear you. You sound well.
You know, I tell you, I don't get sick very often. But when I do, it's like that. But when I do,
like those Seckies.
Exactly. But let me tell you something. Let me just say this. In my whole life, and you know, I just want to say this, and you know, you and that mug, we've gotten so much. I've gotten so much playback on it. You know what? I think people want to buy. You know what you should do if you can make a bunch of those. I think people will want to drop you an email and buy one from you. I've gotten some stuff. I think that the way you did it is the way they want it. You know, so definitely get that. But
it's by accident.
Hey, listen, people love it. So, but listen, I'm just going to say this. I don't normally get sick. I mean, you know, I'm 56 years old, and in my whole life, I may have got sick, and I'm talking about vomiting maybe a dozen times in my life. But when I do vomit,
when you do,
it's like, it's not like, you know, like you hear somebody that says, oh, man, I just got back from the bathroom and I got sick. And you're like, really? You know, that's not me, my man. You know, when it's me, it's like, oh, my God, what's going on? Is somebody being murdered in there? You know, it sounds like my feet are going to come out of my mouth, you know, and that's what happened. And it was terrible for 2 days. But I got a positive, Sal. You want to hear the positive?
I can't wait.
I lost 15 pounds.
There you go, man.
Yeah, you know, so
yeah, you might have had a touch of food poisoning, Bill.
Yeah, well, I tell you the truth, you know, as much as I hated being sick, you know, the bright side of it is, hey, it was a nice little weight loss program.
It's trade-offs. Go patent that. You could go do an infomercial.
Yeah, well, you know, we gotta do what we got. But hey, listen, I wanted to get your thoughts. The official word earlier in the week about Ward and Kovalev finally agreeing, taking place on June 17th in Las Vegas. Do you think it's going to be the same kind of fight? Do you think we're going to see Ward running a little more? I mean, he was hurt in the first fight. He did go down in the first fight. He ended up winning a close fight, which I feel he lost, but that's my opinion. You could blame Kovalev for not keeping his foot on the gas pedal, but I know we got a lot of time to you know, digest this and dissect it and break it down and everything else. But just initially, as the fight has been announced officially, how do you see it going? How do you see the rematch going?
Well, you know, whenever a fight is completed and settled, and each fighter will have an opportunity to replay that fight dozens and dozens and dozens of times in their mind, and what they would have done different, and what they could have done, what they could have capitalized on, what they should have negated and looked for. And each fighter is going to enter that ring that night knowing or feeling in their heart of hearts that they're going to best the other fighter by looking at all the options and everything that they learned from their opponent in that night in that ring. So I think it's going to be a great fight. As you and I had that post-fight, I thought Kovalev won that fight, and I thought that he also took his foot off the gas pedal. And I think that's one thing he's going to try to remember, to be a little more relentless. And when you have a fighter hurt, if he has the opportunity to hurt Andre Ward again, I didn't think the fight was going to go five rounds after the first two, three rounds. I didn't think it was going to make it. But Andre Ward, to his credit, came back, he battled, he survived, and he won a lot of those middle rounds. And just by doing what he did, avoiding Kovalev and taking advantage of Kovalev going to sleep a little bit and outboxing him. And they're going to remember what they did. So I'm so excited that this fight is going to take place. And I think that Andre Ward is going to box a little bit more. He's going to try and avoid Kovalev's heavy hands. And Kovalev is going to have to learn how to put the pressure on him, cut off the ring, and be relentless. He's got to punch. He's got to be a machine. He's got to move that head. He's got to block some punches. He's got to take some punches, but he's got to be able to land some solid punches. And if he ever has Andre Ward hurt again, he's got to look to finish him off early.
I just want to apologize. You know, we're still working out some bugs in the system, and one of the bugs is me because, you know, just getting familiar with some of this, and we got Sal's audio up, but Sal, sorry to say, but when we first introed you, people had to read your lips. So good thing you got big lips, my man. You know, and
well, you know,
and a big mouth. You know,
so I'm gonna give your coffee mug lips. I got to do that. I'm gonna finish that off later with my little Sharpie pen. I'm gonna give you lips. I don't like them, you know.
Well, you know what? It's good stuff. Anyway, I got some quotes. Andre Ward. Well, let me start off by giving Kovalev's quotes because, you know, I've lost a lot of respect for Andre Ward. I really have. I don't know why he thinks he's so great all of a sudden. He was, but he's really. I mean, this guy has put himself in Floyd Mayweather class, and I'm not talking about talent because I mean you can make an argument there, but when I say in Floyd Mayweather's class, I'm talking about drawing power. And I don't mean the drawing power that Sal Senecola has by drawing, you know, cartoon caricatures of me on his coffee mug, you know. But I'm talking about drawing fannies in the seats. And we all know that Andre Ward can't draw flies to a garbage convention when it comes to fights. So, you know, it's really irking me the way he acts. But check this out. Kovalev says, I'm glad to know that the rematch will happen. I really hope that Andre Ward will get into the ring for this rematch. Fans of boxing will see the real crusher, the one they've missed for the last couple of my fights. For me, this rematch is very important, as no other bout in my entire career. Thanks a lot to the boxing fans who helped make it happen. Ward, true to his diva persona, what he's really become, he says, I'm going to keep it short and sweet. You got what you asked for. Now you have to see me on June 17th. This time, leave the excuses at home. I just want to know,
wow,
what excuses did Kovalev have about the fight, aside from us thinking that he didn't get the nod? I mean, what excuses?
I just what you just said. I mean, you know, I felt in my heart of hearts that he did win that fight. It wasn't a big landslide victory, but he did pull out what I thought was a victory. And I don't remember him making any excuses. He didn't have a hurt hand or cut or anything, did he? Or did I miss something? Did his ankle hurt? Did he hurt it? Broke a nose or what happened?
What? Why he didn't sign right away?
Yeah, I guess. Anyway, there's no excuses. You know, I get these guys in a ring, and Andre Ward and Sergey Kovalev, and just let's get ready to rumble. Oh, was I allowed to say that? And do it. Let your head fist do the talking. That's it. Sign, sealed, and now deliver.
Yeah, and you're right. Excuses. I think what happened here in this case was that Ward wanted a 75-square-foot ring. So they agreed to a 24-foot, and you know, which makes me really think that Ward is going to run. What do you guys think? Drop me an email, and we'll discuss it on the next show, Billy@TalkinBoxing. But, you know, some other thing I want to...
That's a big ring.
I was exaggerating. It's 24-square. And that's still a big ring, you know.
It's still a big ring.
You know, it's up to Ward. I mean, it's up to Kovalev. He knows what he's going to do. He knows what he's up against, Sal. He knows that Ward's going to run and be the biatch that he is. So it's really up to Kovalev to make the fight his. I mean, In my opinion, he's going to have to break down the ring, and he's going to have to bully. In my opinion,
he's got to be rough. He's got to be tough. He's got to be bully.
He's got to show absolutely no respect to Andre Ward. What do you think?
I think you're right on. I mean, he's got to go in there confident that he is the victor. He's going to go in there. He's got to win. He's got to cut the ring off. He's got to land some heavy blows. He's got to walk through and wade through and avoid some of those punches. And he's got to make sure that he is the aggressive fighter. And I think he's got to just be confident and know that he was going to have to fight Ward on his terms, not Ward's terms, because Ward will make you run, chase, cut off, and just tag you all night long with that jab and outside shots with the right hands and hooks and uppercuts. So I think that's what I'm saying. Both fighters are familiar with each other. Both fighters can review all the tapes. They can play all the movies in their minds, and both fighters are going to have to negate what they felt they lost on last time, and they're going to have to capitalize on what they did well in the last time as well. They learned, and now we're going to see, hopefully, a good fight.
Yeah, Ward learned that he needs to run. I can't stand that style of boxing, and I don't want to hear from people that say, oh, well, you know, that's the sweet sign. No, it's not. It's not. You know, watch the fight this weekend. Vasily Lomachenko is the pure definition of the sweet science, but we'll get into that. One thing I wanted to mention real quickly, and I got a bunch of emails to read, Sal, is that the WBC immediately has approved and ordered a rematch for Rung Vizal against Chocolito Gonzalez based on how great the first fight was, et cetera, et cetera. And he also ordered a Kudrass versus Juan Francisco Estrada fight, and the winners of both fights will be fighting each other. I think that that's a good move, but I don't think it helps the situation in terms of Chocolito being robbed of his place in history. You know, like I was very vocal the night of the fight when we did the post fight. I got sucked into the blood and the appearance, but when I watched went back and rewatched that fight two more times, each time I had Chocolito winning that fight. By a slim margin. I mean, it was a close fight, but I had him winning the fight. I don't know what they should have done. It was pretty funny to see that the WBC used the headbutts as a reason of why they ordered the rematch. You would think that they could have said, hey, you know, we're not going to recognize that. We feel that the referee was in error, that some of the headbutts were not unintentional. Some of them appeared to be intentional. I'm surprised they didn't go and possibly make that a no contest. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, in a perfect world for Chocolito, it would have been a good call if it was a no contest and they'd have to re-fight the whole thing from scratch. But, you know, especially as deep in that going to the decision, there's no way they couldn't have done that. And again, they have to practice some type of diplomacy in arranging this fight and letting us know what, in their opinion, occurred that's going to demand a rematch. Because if they do not have some type of diplomacy that they can adhere to that makes some sense, we will see the lack of credibility enter the ring. Who knows? So they're going to call it what it is, and they're going to put it up as what it is, but the true fight fans and Chocolito's side really know what it is. But it is a rematch, so yeah, they changed history for him. And you know, I saw that fight, and I did give Chocolito the victory by slight margin the first time I saw it.
I think a lot of people did. Most people did. We got some emails. Jesse says, hey, Billy C and Sal, the Antonio Rasco. Let me say, you know, Usuna, you know, Antonio Rasco. But anyway, he says the Antonio Rasco bout was a good win for Antonio, but I don't think he's ready for a Terrence Crawford bout. I would like to see him maybe against two of these opponents, Victor Postol, Burns versus Indigo, loser, O'Hara Davies or Troyansky. Are those legit bouts to see him in? if he's ready for the next level. I feel those are competitive for him. How do you fare him against those guys? How do you fare him versus those guys? I'd like to see him against Victor Postol. That would be a good fight. We haven't seen Postol. Ricky Burns is in a fight coming up, I believe this weekend or next. So I like those two. And I do think he's ready. I mean, this age of coddling has to stop. It just has to stop. So, yeah, I think he's ready. He says, I feel Nacho Bernstein may not be the correct trainer for Chavez, since Nacho mostly trains young fighters and brings them up to contention status. Chavez is an inside fighter, and Nacho trains on movement and technique. Do you feel this is going to be a factor, or is he a trainer and should know how to train any boxer? I think Jesse makes a good point. But in my opinion, Sal, and I'm curious to hear yours, I think the definition of a good trainer, and I use this example all the time. You know, I'm friends with Kevin Rooney, and Kevin Rooney was the perfect trainer for Mike Tyson when Mike Tyson was at his best. But the knock on Kevin Rooney was that he was a one-dimensional trainer, and still is. I remember going to the gym in the Catskill and seeing him training the same style to every fighter that walked in that gym. You could be a tall, lanky fighter with long arms and you know, great hand speed, and he's got you doing the bob and weave like Mike Tyson. You know, I think the definition of a good trainer, better than good trainer, is a trainer that can take a fighter's abilities, his natural abilities, and utilize them. You know, if you have a fighter with a long reach, a lanky fighter, I mean, you want him to box and move. You know, you got a short, stocky fighter that needs to get inside. Well, you know, bob and weave and get inside. I mean, a trainer that trains everybody the same way, in my opinion, isn't a good trainer. What's your thoughts on that, Sal?
Bill, you just hit it right on the head. You see, a trainer's job is to assess his pupil, his fighter, and see what his strengths are, what his physical features are. And you're right. If you're a tall, thin guy, and you're like a Victor Postol, or you're like a Tommy Hearns, you could be a puncher. You could sit on your punches. You could deliver them. But you're also going to learn how to box. You're also going to learn how to hit people on the outside and look for opportunities and jab and uppercut and hook and move and outbox a person. If you're a shorter guy like myself, you're going to learn how to cut the ring off. You're going to learn how to work yourself in. You're going to learn how to slip punches and get in there and rattle, you know, just ring off the combinations. And, you know, so you're going to take the attributes of a fighter and his limitations you're going to recognize as well. And you're going to enhance those and make them positive. You take whatever's negative, you make it a positive. And you take what's positive, you enhance it and make it full blown. That's exactly what a good trainer should do.
You know, I think that in Chavez Jr.'s case, I think he is what he is. I mean, you're not going to teach him. I would like to see him learn some new tricks, but you're not going to teach him tricks. I think his weakness is discipline. He breaks a fighter down. I mean, he works the body like his pops. He can take a sledgehammer to the chin, you know. I mean, I'm really looking forward. You know, at first, when he first announced it, I wasn't looking forward to Canelo Alvarez against Chavez Jr. at all, like not even a little bit.
I know.
But now I am, because I really think that Saul Canelo Alvarez has picked the wrong guy. And I'm not saying he's going to lose. You know, I'm saying there's a good chance. You know, depending upon what the odds are, I think Chavez is a really good live underdog to throw a couple of bucks on, because the truth of the matter is that it's not going to be an easy fight. I say it all the time. Canelo's weakness is Chavez's strength. You know, I mean, he likes to stand in front of you before he throws punches, Canelo. And Chavez needs you to stand in front of him so he can break down your body. So I don't know. I think it's going to be a risky fight. Whether Nacho makes a difference or not, I don't know. But we'll see. He says, what's your thoughts on Eduardo Rocky Hernandez? He won last Saturday. Is he ready for upper fights in the top 25? Hernandez is a pretty decent fighter. I mean, he's 19 years old. He's undefeated at 22-0 with three knockouts. With three draws. Speaking about knockouts, he's got his last 15 fights, he knocked out his opponent all in a row. The computer has him ranked at number 20. His last seven fights, so of his 25 pro fights, his last seven have all been against very good opposition, in my opinion. His biggest win, in my opinion, it took place last October against Victor Terrazas. He knocked him out. He teared his ass. He knocked him out in two rounds. The answer is yes. I think he's ready. I think he's ready to fight fighters in the top 20, let alone the top 25. He says, do you expect Matt Remillard to take boxing serious and climb back into semi-contention status? Listen, Matt Remillard always took boxing serious. I've always been a big fan of his. He made a stupid decision. You know, he did his time for it. His loss on his record came when he got put in over over his head. He was coddled a bit. I think that he needs to go back to the drawing board, so to speak. You know, he got a big win in his comeback fight. I think he needs to step up his level of opposition, and I think we're going to see Matt Remillard get another title shot in a year or so. You know, I like Matt Remillard. I think that it was a shame what happened to him, and you know, the whole story was pretty bad, and you know, his decision or what he and his buddy did was bad too. But hey, he did his time for it, and that's the end of that. But thanks for the email, Jesse. Sal, I got an interesting email from my man Willie.
Willie
is the self-proclaimed our greatest Welsh fan. He gave me a heads up. You know the big fight that you and I are looking forward to, and I think most boxing fans are, even casual boxing fans are into this fight because it's in the heavyweight division, right?
Hey, I know what you're talking about.
Anthony Joshua against Vladimir Klitschko. The fight's been sold out. They added seats. They're going to have over 90,000 people at Wembley Stadium.
Wow.
They added over 10,000 seats. They got the city ready to accommodate, et cetera, et cetera. It was sold out very quickly. Well, Willie was kind enough to send me a heads up. Do you know that on the, you know, what do they call it? I don't want to call it the black market, but, you know, the resale industry of tickets. Guess how much?
You mean scalpers?
A ticket. Yeah. Guess how much? Well, now they get around that. They have service charges.
It's,
you know,
no longer, it's politically correct. You don't call them scalpers anymore.
Yeah. Well, now they have the way they get around the scalping thing. You know, used to, you know, when you buy a ticket, if the face value of a ticket is $100 and you spend $150 for a scalper, they could arrest the scalper for, you know, selling it above face value. But now they have what they call service charges. So they tack a service charge on, you know, like StubHub and stuff like that. Anyway. Check this out. Anthony Joshua versus Vladimir Klitschko. What do you think, Sal, Rocky Santacola, a ticket is going for right now over on the other side of the pond? What, take a guess.
Ringside?
Any seat.
Any seat. I think it's got to be well over 1,000, maybe 10,000, maybe 25,000 ringside. I don't know. I'm thinking maybe... And maybe a couple grand.
A couple of grand for, you know, a premier seat, either ringside or in the first few rows, right?
I'd say at least 10,000.
What if I told you in a US dollars that they are getting? Are you ready for this? I know you're sitting
I'm ready.
Between in US dollars?
US dollars.
$240,000 to $250,000 for a seat.
No way. Come on. Are you kidding me?
I'm talking comeback for Sal Rocky Santacola. I mean, but
come on, Philly C, you're my new manager. 33 1/3.
It's 200,000 pounds.
What?
Which is about between 240,000 and 250,000, depending upon what the currency exchange is. But can you believe that? I mean, that's what they're getting. For these seats, unbelievable! It just goes to show you what this is. Mayweather has nothing to do with this fight, but you know, Floyd Mayweather was exceptional at generating pay per view dollars and views, et cetera, broke all the records. You know, when he was part of the fight, but I tell you something, he's never been able to do. He's never been able to sell out an arena that seats close to 100,000 people. and then garnering outrageous aftermarket sales, ticket sales like this. This goes to show you that, you know, that whole European, and it's not just the Brits, the whole European fan base, they want to be live. They want to be ringside. And if they're willing to shell out $250,000 to be there, I mean, wow, is that different than the fans here in the States or what?
Well, it's relative, of course. Big time. But I mean, you're going to have the, you know, heavy hitters, and I'm sure if Mayweather was to make a comeback or some, you know, top draw in Vegas, you're going to see, I don't know if you can see 25,000 a ticket, but you know, you could see it up there, and you're going to have your upper echelon boxing fans who have money that, relatively speaking, is more like $250 versus 25,000 to have that wealth. That are probably going to want to be fashionable and ringside. So, you know, but the fans out there are very, very passionate about the sport of boxing, and, you know, like we are here, but they really go above and beyond. It's a celebration. It's a party. It's whatever it is, and it's a big event. And I don't know if people have the wealth and the money to go spend $25,000 to see a fight, God bless them. Boy, I'll tell you.
You know what I love about watching the fights, especially in the UK, is, you know, the fighters come out, they start singing, and people, yeah, you know. Then again, you know, you got to remember
the celebration. You
know, well, you got to remember. You know, I'm donning the Sal the new shirt you got. You know, I just realized I'm looking at the camera feed. I'm like, oh, that's
you
right.
See,
I got
the new shirt I just did.
But well, you know, maybe I know a guy. Maybe I can get one. But you know, the thing is, you know, they're always singing and having a good time. Maybe it has to do with the fact that they drink, you know, beers in bigger glasses than your coffee mug.
I wasn't going to go there, but I'm glad you opened up that can.
No, but it big, yeah, open up that can. Psh, that glass in a bottle. Beer can. Yeah, got it. Yeah, you're pretty funny. You a funny guy. So, hey, you know, when they're drinking their pints, so to speak, in glasses that are bigger than your coffee mug, no wonder why they're singing and dancing and stuff. You know what I mean? You know, and you know, it's funny because I met a couple of guys yesterday at a pub, and one guy was from England. They were both from England, but one was from Wales originally, and that's all. And you know, they said, we're looking to get a pint. You know, that's what they, you know, somebody in the States, you go, yeah, I'm going to have a beer. You know, and when you're in Europe, they're like, I'll take a pint. I'll have a pint. What, you know, what do you got? You know, but got some more emails. This one's from Joel. He says, with the official announcement that we're going to see Ward Kovalev 2 in Vegas, what's your early prediction and Sal's early prediction for this fight? He says, I feel Ward's going to win a close fight, but slightly wider decision than the scores the first time. He says, also, I just want to say that I really am enjoying the new format of the show. I know it hasn't been fully rolled out yet, but it's great seeing Dax and Sal's faces when they speak. Don't worry, BC. I almost enjoy seeing your face as much as Dax and Sal's. I really appreciate these new innovations to the show because it shows you still have a big passion for it after 14 years. I can't thank you enough for giving the fans a great product. Well, I appreciate that, Joel. As usual, Joel is always very supportive of the things we do, and we got a lot of stuff. I told you guys that 2017 was going to welcome some big changes for us in the show here, it's just taken some time to get a lot of bugs out. And as you know, and as Willie informs me every second he gets a chance, that you know, we're still working on some sound glitches. I know some of the people are getting our sound in mono instead of stereo. Believe it or not, the TV networks like it in mono. Don't ask me why. But we are working on accommodating both, so bear with us. As far as early prediction on the fight, Sal, I'll ask you first. I'll let you go first, man. What do you think? What do you predict in Andre Ward, Sergey Kovalev, numero dos?
I tell you, Bill, you're going to put me on a spot, and I'm going to tell you this. I would love to see Sergey Kovalev knock out, drop, and beat Andre Ward. And that's just what I would like to see. I'd want that to happen, and I want to see Kovalev become the victor. But my heart of hearts, right off the bat, first off, I think I see Andre Ward outboxing and outpointing and beating Kovalev. That's just what I'm saying. I don't know. I hope I'm wrong, but I see Andre Ward being the smarter, multidimensional fighter who learned a lot from that first encounter, and I think he's going. I hope I'm wrong. I want to be wrong, but I just see in my heart of hearts, I think Kovalev should have capitalized a little bit more his first time out, and I think Andre Ward is going to capitalize a little more on his first time out.
Well, let's face it. Andre Ward is the more skilled boxer. I mean, whether you like him or not, he's the more skilled boxer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, quite honestly, Ward's persona and his diva-ness, he doesn't give a rat's ass about anybody. No. And the truth of the matter is he thinks he's way above what he is. He's got this cockiness about him. But with that said, I agree that I think that he is going to totally not care. I think in the first fight, he actually was trying to make the fight exciting, and he was trying to show that he belonged in the division. And he made some mistakes, so to speak, by getting, you know, close enough for Kovalev to do some damage. I don't think you're going to see that in the second fight. I think you're going to see Andre Ward on his bicycle from the first bell to the final. He's going to try to steal it. He's got one of the most overrated trainers in the world in his corner, in Virgil Hunter. And Virgil Hunter's belief is to run. And
they sounds like a song.
Yeah, exactly. And they you know, try to, you know, define that as the sweet science, you know, which is bullshit. You know, it's just, you know, the truth of the matter is, I think the burden of this fight falls on Sergey Kovalev. I think Kovalev has to go into this fight, like I said earlier, with absolutely zero respect for Ward. I think he's got to make it an ugly fight. I think he's got to try to piss Ward off. And I think he better with John David Jackson, they better work on cutting the ring off on a runner. Work the body, get in close, and hope that Ward doesn't catch him with something that could put him on his butt. He does start out a little cold, so maybe Kovalev should work on starting out hot. I'm with you in a sense. I think Ward is going to make it a boring fight, but I too want to see Kovalev knock him out. And I think he's got the potential, and I think he's got the capabilities. I think the burden is on Kovalev. I think Kovalev has to prove that he could be the force that people had hoped. And he's right about what he said in his comments. He hasn't been the same. Whether he's fighting cautiously, who knows? Who knows what the thing is? But this is his shot. He had all the titles. And he lost him. Now, we could argue that he got robbed. We could argue that Ward didn't win the fight. We can make that argument just like Chocolito fight. But at the end of the day, he's got something to prove. He's coming in again making less money. He's coming in as the challenger this time. He's coming in as a guy that's got to set the record straight and prove something. He's got something to prove. Ward thinks he's already the best. So I'm going to pick Kovalev because I think the drive is there. I think he's got a lot more to fight for, and I think he's going to succeed. So we'll see. We'll see.
I hope you're right, Bill. I hope you're right. Like I said, Kovalev is going to have to win by a knockout, and if he does not, I believe that Ward is going to outbox him and win by points.
Yeah, well, I mean, That's the safe bet, really. I mean, when you think about it. But thanks for the email, Joel. Next one here is from my man Mitch. He says, so there's a guy on YouTube who's got, I'm not going to promote anybody, but he's got lots of views. And he says, he used to be a Ward fan. And he basically saying this, he's not going to buy Kovalev Ward 2. He's going to stream it illegally. And I don't promote that at all, but do what you got to do. He says, however, he's going to send Kovalev a check for $50. So Ward gets none of his money and Kovalev gets more money, right? He says, he says, now, I know this sounds ridiculous. This is Mitch. He says, I know this sounds ridiculous. However, he's got lots of followers of a video. So one guy asked him, how do I send Kovalev my money? He said the guy makes a check out to him, and the guy whose station, whose channel is, he says, the guy says, just make a check out to Kovalev and send it to Main Events. Then another person chimes in and says, I want to do it too. And that pay-per-view needs to have a system. When you buy a fight, you get to choose who gets your money. And he, and Mitch says, I'm not going to say any of these ideas will work or that any of them are the correct thing to do. But could you imagine if all loyal viewers like this follow his lead? He said that could potentially be an extra $700,000 in Kovalev's pocket. He says if crossover viewers of his video followed, it could get crazy. It won't happen, but it just got my attention. Send you $50 to Kovalev, watch a live stream instead, and let Rock Nation take a big hit for Ward's salary again. He says, just when I think it's just hot air based on frustration, others are asking how they can join in. He says to make out a check to Kovalev and send it to Main Events. He says, I know nothing may come out of it, but it's interesting. Thanks for the email, Mitch. I will say this. To me, that falls into the realm of what we have talked about the purse splits. Maybe they should consider having these purse splits, you know, based on who wins the fight. You know, if the fighter that wins the fight gets more of the purse, I think that would be more instrumental to keep his foot on the gas. I mean, you've been an advocate of this for a while, right?
I said, you know, what do you think the origination of how it evolved? It is prize fighting. It's a boxing match, but it's prize fighting. The winner of the fight should get the larger purse. The loser should get a smaller percentage. That's it. It gives the fighters incentives. It gives the fighters what they want to dream about to make happen. And I'm telling you, that's why it's called prize fighting. Let the winner of the fight get the larger percentage of the purse. And that's how it should be.
Hey, listen, everybody knows I promote my book, and until everybody has a couple of copies at their house, I'm going to keep promoting it every day. But let me just tell you this. Back in the day of my guy, Tom Molineaux, and if you read the book, you'll learn this. But, they used to basically put up money, and the winner got all the purse. You know, I mean, what they used to do back in the bare knuckle days is the loser, they would take up a collection from all of the spectators, and they would pass a hat around, and they would put money in the hat for the loser of the bout based on his performance and what have you. And that's the only money that he would get. You know, now I'm not suggesting that, you know, that would work in today's world, but a percentage split would, you know, even if it's just a slight percentage, 60-40, you know, you have a purse, you know, but years ago they used to say, like today we have a purse bid, right? And what a purse bid means is, you know, they'll have a purse bid on a fight, and let's say it's $100,000, then they have a purse split, you know, how so many goes to a champion, so many goes to the challenger. Well, why not do that for every fight that's a major fight? Say, okay, here's the purse. You know, we got $50,000 on the line for this fight. The winner gets 60%, the loser gets 40%, or the winner gets 70%, the loser gets 30%, something like that. I tell you what, you're not going to see close fights anymore, right, Sal?
No, you're not. That's what I'm saying. That's prize fighting. Let them have the incentive. Let the winner get the majority of the purse. And definitely, I would love that. I'd be an advocate for it, and I'd be one to promote that.
Well, hey, absolutely. You know what? We'll see what happens. But moving ahead. Thanks for the emails. Don't forget, if you take the time to drop us an email, we'll take the time to read it. Just drop me an email, Billy@talkin. That's TALKIN. BOXING.com. There's no G in talking for us. I want to get your thoughts on this because I'm a little it's perplexing to me. I'm confused. I'm so confused about this. We all know, and you've been there. We've done shows there together. But the International Boxing Hall of Fame, and this year it's set for June 8th through 11th. And I'm probably going to be there hawking my book.
I'm going to
split a table with my publisher, James Curl. And he's always got some great things to sell there in terms of new books and stuff that either he's written or some other people under his publishing firm. But and I'll probably be there at least for that day because that's my favorite day aside from the sausage and peppers. But here's the thing. I'd be lying if I said that over the past several years that the Hall of Fame has you know, digressed, in my opinion, not only in numbers of people going, but just the way it is. You know, I've said that I don't like the way the powers that be at the International Boxing Hall of Fame herd their fighters in and out like they're cattle. They make the fans limited. They have limitations on how you can access these fighters. And, you know, keep it in mind that when they first opened, it was very, I mean, the crowds were unbelievable because the fighters were so accessible. And quite honestly, you know, I'm a sports guy, and, you know, boxing is one of those sports that the fighters are the most accessible athletes in all of professional sports. And, you know, to hinder that is a problem for me. And I think that it's a problem for many fight fans because the numbers have dwindled. You could make the argument that the fighters that are getting into the Hall of Fame have you know, the quality of the fighters is diminished too because we just don't have the great fighters anymore. But Sal, I want to get your thoughts on this. It's almost comical, all right? So mm-hmm. you might have to take a drink of your goblet of coffee there. You know, here's the thing. You know, here's the thing. As he takes a sip from the goblet, boys and girls, man, geez, go Sal. You sure there's not any whiskey wow. there? I remember the last time you threw down a couple of shots of scotch.
I got a story
we had
for
to
that,
cut you
dude.
Off, you know.
He's,
but
we're not gonna forget about it.
Anyway, so what we have is this. They announced now in case you've never been to the International Boxing Hall of Fame, you know, they have all the ceremonies and stuff, and it culminates with the Parade of Champions at the end. And you know, one year they used to have, you know, relevant people as the grand marshal of that parade. Basically, they get to ride in the seat of the car, you know, and wave to the boxing fans. You know, they used to have relevant people to the sport of boxing in there. They had Rosie Perez one year. Now, I know she's an actress and stuff, but the reason why I supported Rosie Perez is because Rosie Perez is an advocate for boxing. She you see her ringside. I mean, she knows the sport. She's you know, I think she's an asset to the and she's got a nice asset herself. But she's you know, she's an asset to the sport. And you know, I've met her ringside, and she knows what she's talking about. You know, and I had no problem. But this year, Sal, they just announced that the Grand Marshal of the International Boxing Hall of Fame is actor Eric Braeden.
Who?
Well, I was going to say, you know, he's obviously a household name, right? I mean, everybody who? Knows who Rosie Perez is, but Eric Braeden, I mean, you know who he is, right?
No, I'm sorry. I have to research that on imdb.com.
And, oh no!
I'm sorry. Did I promote that too?
Oh no! Oh no! Let me. Oh yeah, you did. But no. let me. Let me. Oh, it's happening, sweetheart.
It's happening, sweetheart.
But happening. But anyway, he basically he plays a character named Victor Newman on The Young and the Restless. I want to know how far has this sport? How far has the International Boxing Hall of Fame sunk when they got to bring in a Young and the Restless? Now, in case you, I know we have a lot of viewers and listeners from on the other side of the pond. The Young and the Restless is a soap opera. It's a daytime soap opera. And this guy has been doing this for 37 years, since 1980. He's been on The Young and Restless. And he's the Grand Marshal. I looked into. He's got no connection to boxing, let alone any sport. I mean, yes, he's big on his resume. He's been you know, on some shows like Hawaii 5-0 and Mary Tyler Moore, Rat Patrol, Gunsmoke. I know nobody that has been born, you know, in the 90s or later ever even watched any of those shows. But still, I mean, the guy is, you know, he was born in Germany and came over here in 1959, started acting later in his career. And he's been in some movies and stuff. But the bottom line, for the last 37 years, he's been Victor Newman on The Young and the Restless. What's happening to the sport when the International Boxing Hall of Fame has a Young and Restless star as the grand marshal of their parade, Sal Senicola?
Well, I'll tell you what. That's a first one for me and a hard one to swallow. I don't know. I just remember I went to the inaugural indoctrination of the Boxing Hall of Fame, and let me tell you, it was wonderful, wonderful. And as you said, the fighters were so accessible. I was shaking hands, having conversations with Billy Kahn, Archie Moore, Muhammad Ali, right in the eye, shaking hands, and it was great. Carmine Basilio was up there, and Willie Pep, and you're talking to these guys, and it was fabulous. It was such a success. And then I don't know how many years transcended or continued in that style, but I know the last time we went up there, we had a great time. And I was able to see a lot of my old friends, and it was great. And I saw Aaron Pryor, but I was allowed into that circle. It wasn't like they were accessible to the public. It was like they were herded in like cattle, and you had to be careful. You had to be somebody to get in to see them.
It's a shame.
And I don't know what this grand poobah that's going to be there for this year's Boxing Hall of Fame. I don't know what's on his boxing resume. I'm sure he has a very successful acting resume, and that's great. Congratulations to him. So I think there should be a notable boxing figure as the grand poobah of the Boxing Hall of Fame. I'm sorry, that's my opinion, Billy C.
You think? I mean, it's a Boxing International Hall of Fame. I mean, I would vote for that.
Big.
You know, have somebody that at least. I mean, have somebody that's at least associated with the sport in some way, shape, or form. I mean, you're dragging out a 70-something-year-old daytime soap opera guy that most boxing fans don't watch. Nothing against The Young and the Restless. But, I mean, who really gives a rat's ass about that? I don't know.
I think they could have dug a little deeper and found someone a little more accessible or eligible, I should say.
I just want to thank Ed Brophy and all the cronies up there in the International Boxing Hall of Fame. You're being very successful at pushing people away when you should be welcoming people. It's a shame. And this year is going to be probably one of, you know what? They got Holyfield being inducted, so he's going to be there. And Marco Antonio Barrera will be there as well. You know, obviously two big stars. You know, people are going to want to see Holyfield. But the thing about Evander, and I've gotten to meet him myself several times. I mean, I had my world champion on a fight card when he was fighting in Denmark. He's the nastiest guy you ever want to meet. I mean, you know, he makes Michael Moro look like a nice guy, you know. And Evander Holyfield, you know, I mean, he's not accessible when he's accessible, you know. So, I think they're going to have a record terrible year. And I mean, why not have someone? I mean, if he's the big name this year, and obviously he is, why not have someone associated with him? Why not get a guy like, I mean, just for argument's sake, Mike Tyson or even Kevin Rooney, you know, a guy that maybe hasn't been in the boxing spotlight for a while. I mean, somebody.
I wish Evander's trainer, who I had the fortune of training with, why not get Don Turner or somebody big, somebody that is known in boxing, in the boxer's circle. It doesn't have to be internationally, worldwide known, but if fighters know him as a fight person, it'd be great. You know, they can get so many other fighters. They get Boom Boom Mancini. They get somebody. You know, come on up there and just be the welcoming committee. Hey, Billy C, they get you.
I don't know if I will. I mean, I'll ride in. I mean, listen, I'll take one for the team. I'll sit in the back of that old car.
Absolutely.
I'll do it. I mean, come on. I think I'd be a better choice than a Young and a Wrestler.
Well, you would be. That's what I'm saying. You're a knowledgeable fight guy. You've been in the ring. And you know what? I think I would vote for you, Bill. I think you should be.
All right, all right. Make I'll send you the money. Hey. I'll send you the money for saying that, all right? I mean, come on.
All right.
Hey, the W. I was talking about the
$50.
I was talking about the WBC order in the Chocolito rematch. But the WBA earlier in the week ordered Leo Santa Cruz, who just won his fight, his rematch with Carl Frampton, to fight a rematch with Abner Mares. The fight is going to happen. So it was going to go to purse bid. And I think they've come up to a deal. Or maybe it is going to go to purse bid. I don't know. But the WBA says that they're continuing to, you know, reduce the titles in each division. I guess they don't include the real popular divisions like the heavyweight division because they still got a gazillion titles there. And the middleweight division, even though I could have sworn that, you know, Danny Jacobs and Triple G were, you know, combining that title. Now they have that title open, and Hassam Nadam is fighting for that. So I don't know. I think the WBA is a smokescreen as well. But Santa Cruz Mares 2 is set. How about this fight, Sal? It was announced, and it's going to be taking place in a couple of weeks. It was already announced, but you're going to be able to watch it on American TV. But Martin Murray, he was a title challenger in the middleweight division. He also fought in the super middleweight division. Mm-hmm. He's going back to the middleweight division. His record is 34 wins, 4 losses, and a draw. He's scheduled to fight Gabe Rosado April 22nd in Liverpool. And he feels that this is going to be a stepping stone fight for him to get back into the mix. I think this is going to be a really good fight. I think it's a good matchup between two styles. Gabe Rosado's a tough guy. People underestimate Gabe Rosado. You know, if this kid didn't cut as much as he does and doesn't swell as much as he does, he would be way more of a name that people would look at as a fighter. I think he's underrated, to tell you the truth, but I think that this is going to be a war between these two guys. What do you think?
I think you're right on. I think it's going to be a good fight. Gabe Rosado's a tough guy, and you know they're taking calculated risks with this one. And I think we're in for a good fight. The fans are going to be seeing a good fight between these guys.
Well, speaking about a fight, I don't know how good it's going to be, but it's been signed, sealed, and delivered. Manny Pacquiao will be fighting Jeff Horn July 2nd in Australia. Yes, Manny Pacquiao is going to make a boatload of cash. I don't know, man.
I'm still not interested in it.
I keep hearing more and more that Mayweather Conor McGregor fights are going to be a done deal. That's going to happen in September. And I saw that Dana White has said that terms have been agreed to. Dates and locations have been agreed to. And the only reason why they haven't announced it and signed papers is because Conor McGregor is expecting a child with his wife, a girlfriend, whatever the hell she is.
And once that's his first boxing match.
Yeah, man, yeah. I'm sick over the fight if it counts as a real fight. If it's an exhibition, I'll send him my money, you know. But if the Nevada State Athletic Commission, because assuming it's going to take place in Nevada. If the Nevada State Athletic Commission approves this fight, or any athletic commission for that matter, approves a fight between a pro debuter, and I don't give two you-know-whats about how successful Conor McGregor is in the MMA sport, because that's not boxing, but if they give a 49-0, a guy that will be a first ballot Hall of Famer, if they approve a fight between 49-0 Floyd Mayweather Jr. against a pro debut fighter in Conor McGregor. I think the credibility gets flushed down the toilet quicker than all the throw up that I had a few days ago. Sal, what do you think?
I think you're, well, there you go again. I think you're right on. And, you know, but here, listen to this perspective now. We're just assuming It's going to be a sanctioned boxing match. Wouldn't it be incredible if this happens to be Floyd Mayweather making a debut into the MMA realm of fighting? Unbelievable. That's another thing that could happen. We never spoke about that, Billy. You don't know. You don't know. Think about it.
Good point.
I doubt it. I know.
And let me,
good
let,
point.
Let
maybe
me
he's going to put the facade. Maybe he's a whirlwind beater when he uses his legs, feet, knees, and everything else. So maybe, just maybe, Floyd Mayweather is going to make the crossover into MMA him on his term.
I think
that's the only way they could sanction it.
I think you pronounced that wrong. You said whirlwind beater. It's a woman beater. How you pronounce it.
I knew you were going to go somewhere. I throw out the fishing rod to give the bait, and bam, you got it. Way to go.
Floyd Mayweather is a woman beater, not a worldwide beater, but the whirlwind. He's a woman beater, but it should Floyd Mayweather do that fight in MMA?
Wow,
that's a whole different ballgame.
That's a
Then I'm rooting for.
I'm rooting for McGregor.
I'll tell you the truth.
I root for Floyd.
I will tell you the God's honest truth. If Floyd Mayweather had the you know whats, which he doesn't. They're really teeny. They're like the size of peas. But if Floyd had the you-know-whats to step in a cage with Conor McGregor, I would be rooting for Floyd. I would root for Floyd. I'll be the first to say it right now. I would root for Floyd in that fight. Well, you would root for McGregor?
No, I'm teasing. I would root for Floyd. I mean, I really would. Think about that. It just hit me when you were saying that. And because you know what? Because there is no way, I just cannot see any credible sanctioning body giving this fight the credence and the credibility of being a sanctioned fight if it was on a boxing terms. But we never looked at the fact that maybe, just maybe, Floyd Mayweather is going to go over to the MMA and do it on their terms. That would be a hell of a exception to the rule, no?
Yeah, it would, and I would love it. I would love it.
If
it happened, but it's not gonna. But anyway, to the issue. Manny Pacquiao against Jeff Horn. What you started to say, I agree with. The only fight that really made a difference, the only fight that I care to see Manny Pacquiao in is a rematch with Floyd. This time, and that should be the one that says no excuses.
That's
because
right.
Manny Pacquiao had a plethora of excuses after that fight. And nobody wanted to see Manny Pacquiao knock the crap out of Floyd Mayweather more than me. But it makes me sick to see fans that make responses that say, oh, you know, I rewatched the fight and actually Pacquiao won that fight and everything. Pacquiao did not win the fight.
He did not.
I mean, there's no way. I mean, Floyd won the fight. You know, but the fact that he won't give him a rematch shows you that Floyd, you know what, maybe Floyd got hit a little too much. I don't know. Maybe Floyd said to himself, hey, if this is what he did with one hand, I don't have a chance against Manny with two hands, you know. But anyway, for Manny Pacquiao to fight Jeff Horn, I think it's kind of sad. I think it's good for Australia because, there'll be some fanfare there. But it's a lose-lose situation for Manny. The only thing that he gets out of this is a big check. You know, aside from that, he's not going to go up by beating Jeff Horn in the all-time great status, and he risks moving down should he lose. And he's no spring chicken. You know, it's not like he's fighting every other month, Sal, you know?
No, it's exactly that. And as I said, the only fight I would ever want to really see is he fighting, you know, Floyd Mayweather. That's it. That's the only fight. That's the only fight. This guy's been to the mountain and back. He's done everything he can do. And, you know, I don't know. I just don't see it. But it is what it is.
One thing I wanted to mention real quick. Before we talk about the big fights this weekend, is Terrence Crawford is going to be taking on Felix Diaz in May. It's going to be taking place in New York. I love Terrence Crawford. I think that, you know, he's what we need in the sport of boxing. A guy that can box. He's not afraid to mix it up. He'll fight anybody that they put in front of him. He seems to be a reasonable guy. He's not too greedy, et cetera, et cetera. And what I love the most about him is for the first several fights, I mean, he was brought in as the opponent and upset the apple cart. And then finally, people realize how talented this guy is. And now all of a sudden, you know, everyone's singing a different tune. But he's fighting Felix Diaz, who's a good fighter, too. But I just don't think he's on the Terrence Crawford level. It's taking place in May. So we will get to that, obviously, over the coming weeks. But a couple of quotes. Diaz says, on the May 20th, it's going to be an incredible opportunity for me. When I was arguing with my manager about finding the best fight, the biggest fights out there, Crawford was number one since he's the best out there. And it's such an amazing opportunity to finally get that fight with him. You know, I find it interesting that in his comment, he says, you know, when I was arguing with my managers, here is something that you always say, Sal, you know, here the fighter is arguing with his managers that he wants to fight the best out there. And the managers are you know, advising him to take the weaker fights. I mean, at the end of the day, it's up to the fighter, right?
Well, yes and no. I mean, yeah, fighters should be able to express who they want to fight. And, you know, because they have in their heart of hearts, they see, you know, maybe themselves, what they can capitalize on and beat an opponent who's a top contender on their level. But you know, the managers, they're calculating, they're looking at longevity. They're looking, well, we could take this fight here, and, you know, you get by this guy, and then you go over here. It's leverage. It's traversing. You know, I used to ski a lot, downhill racing, boom. You know, slalom, and sometimes you traverse, you go across the slope a little slower, so it's an enjoyable ride. But, you know, I don't know. I just use that analogy. I don't even know why I did that. I miss the snow.
But I think you need some more coffee. I think you need another sip of coffee. But
Crawford
says it's going to be a fun night. I'm really excited for this fight. I've been reading all the blogs people have been sending me for the last few days, telling me that this guy said I'm scared of him and I'm ducking him, etc. And everybody knows Terrence Crawford doesn't duck anybody. I'm real excited and happy that he got his chance to get this fight. I'm not a running boy. I'm not running. So here we are now, and that's everything I have to say. May 20th, let the better man win. Just another reason why I love Terrence Crawford. I mean, business is business, you know.
He's
saying that, and that's the way it should be, you know. But
well, it is. And he's a real deal. He's a good fighter. Great.
This weekend, big fight for HBO, and you know, maybe at the last minute we'll do a post fight if I get enough people that email me over the next 20 hours or so that demand it. We'll do our best to do it. Billy at Talkin' Boxing, TalkinBoxing.com. But Vasily Lomachenko, in my opinion, by the way, a couple of great articles up on BillyCBoxing.com posted over the last day or so. And one of them, my man Coach wrote about Lomachenko. And why he is, in his opinion, and mine too, the definition of the sweet science. And he points out all the reasons. Check it out. It's up on BillyCBoxing.com. Vasily Lomachenko is taking on Jason Sosha. It'll be on HBO. You know, my question really is, does Jason Sosha have a chance in this fight? I mean, I guess the answer would be yes. Everybody's got a chance when the bell rings. But Lomachenko is such a different class of a fighter. I mean, this is a guy that, in my opinion, for all those people that think that what Andre Ward does and Floyd Mayweather does and, you know, fighters of that type of style where they're running and you know, and I say running, you know, not getting hit is important in boxing. But you must be in a position to strike your opponent. What Floyd does and what Andre does at times, even though Andre didn't do it as much in his last fight with Kovalev, but they avoid the punch and they use their feet, but their feet carries them so far away from the action that they can't land a punch. And that's not the sweet science. The sweet science is to make your opponent miss, but you still be in position to hit him or her. Vasily Lomachenko does exactly that. You know, you're standing in front of him, you can't hit him, and he's landing shots on you, on the head, on the body, and he's circling around. I mean, it's like, you know, you're fighting three of him, you know. This is what makes him so unique. And, you know, if you never really looked at it that way, make sure you look at it that way this weekend when he fights on HBO. There's also a couple of other fights on that card I think we're going to get to see. But, Sal, what's your quick thoughts on Lomachenko versus Socha?
Well, like you just said, I mean, Lomachenko is a very, very special fighter, and he does exactly what you just said. He stays in a pocket. He avoids the punches. He's right there in position to counter and to land what he wants to. He steps out of the way. He does this. He's a complete fighter. He really is. I enjoy seeing his fights all the time, and I think it should be a good fight, and I think Lomachenko will definitely beat Sasha. So I think... Jason, so I think it's going to be an entertaining fight. I think I don't think it'll go to distance, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, hopefully we will, and
enjoy a couple good rounds.
Yeah, well, I think that he will. I think Lomachenko is not going to let him go to distance either.
No, I
personally don't think so. I mean. I think Lomachenko is going to do what Lomachenko does. He's going to break him down.
You know, I love watching his style because his feet are always underneath him, even though he moves. He's one side, this side, boom. He's always in a position, and that's what's so unique about him. He really is a well-rounded fighter.
Yeah, well, so is Santa Claus. He's well-rounded too, and Humpty Dumpty.
He is. He fights down that chimney, yeah. Billy C.
A fight that I'm not really sure if we're going to get to see. I think we are, but the co-main event for the WBO World Cruiserweight title puts Oleksandr Usyk, who's 11-0, up against Michael Hunter. Now, Michael Hunter, he's only 12-0, but you know, I mean, when you look at these two fighters, you say, well, you know, they're evenly matched, even similar records and so on and so forth. But Usyk seems to be so much more polished than Hunter. I know you haven't had a chance to really take a look at this fight, but Usyk, you've seen in the past. I mean, this guy's he's a dangerous fighter. What do you think?
Yeah, he's a dangerous fighter. He definitely is. And you got to be careful. And definitely, I think it's going to be a good fight.
I mean, in Hunter's case, I think that he's a strong young fighter, but
yes.
I think he's definitely outclassed. I think in this one, I just do. I think Hunter is being rushed. To be honest with you, what do you think?
Well, it's something to really see what's in a fighter's heart, mind, and his skill level. And he constantly coming up the ranks, he's improving. And some fighters, bite a little bit more often than they can chew, but that's how you test them, and you learn where they are in their career. And you go from there. So let's see what he does. Maybe he could rise to the occasion. Maybe his handlers feel that way, and we'll see. We'll see. You got to give him a shot.
Yeah, well, I mean, that is what you got to do with that, and you got to go. You got to do what you got to do, right?
Got to do what you got to do. I know you like those shots.
Yeah, I like the shot. I like those shots too.
But another Billy C.
Another fight that is on the card, and like I said, I don't think that. We are going to be able to get it, is another Oleksandr Vodzadik is going up against Unieski Gonzalez. And to me, that's another big fight in the light heavyweight division. And the card is pretty good. It's coming from Maryland, I believe. And then Sunday, there's another fight, Josito Lopez. Well, I love watching Josito Lopez. He's taking on Saul Corral. On FS1, so make sure you guys tune into that. But listen, if you really want us to do a post-fight show, drop me an email and I'll see what I can do. No promises. We are still working out some stuff with the website now, so that's going to be the next thing you see, and we're going to put it all together. We're going to put it all together, Sal.
Yeah, and it's going to look good. And flow.
Yeah, the ebb and flow. There you go with
the
your ebb and flow.
And flow.
You know, and not to be confused with flow from the TV commercials.
You remember Flo?
Do I remember Flo? She's still on.
Is she still on?
She didn't go nowhere.
I don't know, you know? But she's flowing.
Yeah, she needs to. I need to flow. But anyway, again, I apologize for any you know, things that took place due to our short schedule this week because of me coming down with the, you know, whatever I had, but. And also, you know, bear with us with some of these learning curves. We are going to be unveiling some great stuff over the next. You're going to see changes every day. Last time, all I could see in the chat room was, "Oh, Sal's video image is so perfect, and Billy C looks so tiny." You know, and it's like, okay, well, today,
thank you, guys.
I got to admit, you know, your set today looks really good. Like, if I were you.
Well,
I wouldn't move anything.
She put it together. Well, I had nothing to do with it.
No, just the way everything's positioned. I would leave everything the way it is. As a matter of fact, a guy with all your money, what I would do is I would get another computer and set that up when you're not in this particular studio and leave everything the way it is right now because it looks perfecto, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill. I appreciate that. I will pass that on to the lovely lady who did this for me. I appreciate it.
Hey, pass on the whoever's got to get me a new style T-shirt, man. I mean, come on. Wait. Why aren't you donning one? Why aren't you donning one?
You and Joel are going to get one too.
Forget
absolutely.
About Joel. How much ass does he have to kiss? I mean, come on, man. You know? I mean, come on. Anyway,
boy. Hey,
I got this. How about this? On this day, April 7th. Can you believe it's April 7th already? I mean, it just seemed like we were talking about, you know, the holidays being over and stuff. We're already, like you said to me, I don't even think we were on air. I think we were talking on the phone, but you were like, you know, the first quarter's over already. And I was like, you're right. The first quarter's over. And obviously, us being in business, we know that because we got to file taxes and stuff. But, you know, specifically payroll taxes. But
that's right.
You know, first quarter's over, boys and girls.
It's
so one-fourth of the year of 2017
right.
is already behind us.
That's correct.
Oh, yeah. It is behind me. It's right next to Joe. It's right over there, in case you guys don't know what I got in that case. I got Joe a signed pair of trunks from Joe Frazier, and the one below it, one of my favorite fighters, Kid Gavilan.
Oh wow!
You know, I love those things. But anyway, on this day, April 7th, in 1972, Bob Foster knocks out Vincent Rondon in the second round to unify the world light heavyweight title. Took place in Miami. On this day in 1962, Paul Pender wins a 15-round decision over Terry Downs to win the world middleweight title. It took place in Boston. On this day in 1984, Richard Sandoval knocks out Jeff Chandler in the 15th round to win the WBA world bantamweight title. It took place in Atlantic City, New Jersey. On this day in 2002, Johnny Nelson knocks out Urza Sellers in the 8th round to retain his WBO World Cruiserweight title. Took place in Denmark. Denmark's a pretty cool city, yes. Country. I was in Copenhagen, which was a cool city. On this day in 2001, Marco Antonio Barrera, a 2017 Hall of Famer, wins a 12-round decision, and this was a great fight, his first loss over Prince Nassim Hamed. To win the vacant IBO World Featherweight title took place in Las Vegas. Hamed loses for the first time in his career, dropping to 35-1. Barrera, on the other hand, he improved to 53 wins and 3 losses. All of that took place on this day, April 7th. Sal, do you have any final thoughts for me and the rest of the boys and girls out there?
I think we had a very good time here reading the emails and talking about some good topics here. It was a good show, and I wish everybody a safe, happy, healthy weekend ahead.
I see you guys.
I'm glad to see you back on your feet, Ben.
And I was just going to say, I'm glad to see you. You guys are up above water. What happened? I mean, because we had torrential rains here for the last several, I guess, 5 days in a row now. But what happened? Is the same thing going on with you?
Well, we had some storm that blew here, blew right through. There were some tornadoes in some of the surrounding counties, and I know down St. Augustine got slammed, or up the coast, and here we are in St. Simon's Island and Glenn County and Brunswick, and we lost power. The winds were, the thunder, the lightning, the storms, thunder and lightning and storms. And, oh my! It was terrific. It was horrific. It was everything you would want in a thunderstorm and more. It was big, and we were out without power again for a while. And you know, but today looks like a beautiful sunny day, a little nice breeze. Probably get up to 85 degrees, and it's a little too warm for me at this time of year. But hey,
everything you would want in a storm. Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm a former storm chaser. I'm sorry. I used to go look for down in the
Atlantic. Well, now that you moved down there, you don't have to chase them too far.
No, they come. Hey, guess what? Your years of chasing are over. Here we are. But you know, St. Simon's is so unique, and you know, I remember we were looking for houses here, and you know, one of the questions I thought I'd ask the realtor was, when's the last time you got hit by a big hurricane? Oh, well, it was really over 100 years ago. And the way we're structured here, it's very hard for a storm to really hit us flush on the chin, and use the terminology I enjoyed. And I said, yeah, I'm somewhat of an actuary. I spent years in the life insurance business, and that means we're well overdue for a storm. And sure enough, you know, Hurricane Matthew was enough that we had to handle and deal with at the time. And we've had a couple tornadoes rip through here. But when you look on the coastline, and St. Simon's Island is you're coming down, all of a sudden, boom, it cuts in like that. It's a barrier island. And a storm coming on has a hard time really reaching head on, because it bounces off the coast a little bit and weakens a little bit. And we are almost, we should almost be in the central time zone, because we are almost underneath Ohio. That's how deep that cut is into the longitudinal kind of barrier.
Hey, Slip Mahoney, I don't think Ohio is in the central time zone, but you missed
it.
No,
yeah, it is, because I live in Cleveland.
Because we've got a storm front moving in over here, and it's going to push down underneath the, you know, I mean, the way you were describing it looked pretty good, but
look, you know, and like I said, the coast comes down and boom, all of a sudden, like it looks like someone took a big scoop, a shovel, a spoon, and took out, you know, some of the coast, and that's where we are, tucked in that pocket.
Yeah, I go over to where they dumped that shovel full, and when I go to St. Simon's, all that grassy marshland, isn't that where they dumped all that stuff when they scooped that out?
They did.
Well, listen, boys and girls, we had, like I said, keep your eyes peeled for some more new stuff. We should have everything fully functional over the next week or so. And I'm not talking about just on the show. I'm talking about the website and all of our social media. Everything is all being tied together. I got some great news for all of our contributors and writers. You guys are going to be able to update your own damn stories now, which is going to be great. A lot of stuff has been going on. While Yous was sleeping, that was a segment we used to have. But anyway, hey, listen, again, if you really, really, really want a post fight show after Lomachenko, drop me an email. If I get overwhelming requests, I will do it. I know there's a lot of you that just watch our post fights, and if you're happen to be stumbling across this show, hey, now's your time to interact. And don't forget to check out Gawkbox up on the website. Because it's a tool that can get you some free stuff, especially if you like gaming and stuff like that, and some other things. Plus, it's a direct link to us. We teamed up with them, and there's ways of by you getting a product that you need, the providers the owners of those products, so to speak. Basically pay us or tip us. That's the way they do it. It's pennies, but a lot of pennies add up to dollars. And, the way Sal is bringing in storms in St. Simon's, he needs a few dollars, you know. So all of that stuff. But anyway, make sure you tune in next time. Same bat time, same bat channel. Until then, ciao, baby. Ha ha!